This is part two. The first recording was actually busted off because of what happens when we get into these conversations. So go ahead, Thomas, continue.
Okay. All right. So, the Constitution was a successor entity to the bankrupt articles. And it just so happened that it was approximately within a year of a default on the loan from the Revolutionary War. And it was a package of loans. I mean, this was not just one, but over several years. So, getting back to the actual complaint, we gave them several notices of default and dishonor in law, at law, in commerce, in admiralty, in equity, and otherwise. We gave them several opportunities to cure. We gave demands when the actual complaint went unanswered for summary judgment, for the declaratory judgment that we were asking for. And we wanted immediate implementation of the writs, which would have simply corrected the problem and went back to what some would call the original intent of these original or founding documents.
And those are the writs of mandamus as specified in the actual complaint.
Correct, which there was approximately 14 with a writ of prohibition against the courts from further harm against the people. And so what we were actually doing at that time was we were restating and re-ratifying, reconfirming, re-noticing, redeclaring, reauthorizing, reordering, reissuing, and reestablishing the lawful and superior claim of the people that we were suing on behalf of the heir, of the Creator, all of them, and ourselves, as well as the Creator, through the writ of Ketom. And I'm going to have to call you back here. I got locked down for a second.
Okay. All
so
right.
We will continue that moment.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. We are being recorded again.
Time, maybe.
Yep.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. So what we did was a writ of Ketom. That is on behalf of the king ourselves. Well, the king of all kings. Of course, if you're suing on his behalf, you're suing on behalf of his heirs. Which is all the people.
All the people, correct. Who are the beneficiaries of the trust indenture.
Correct, which is every man, woman, and child on the soil within the geographic land mass boundaries as defined within Freeves Indenture, which was, I believe, the Pacific Ocean to the west, the Atlantic Ocean to the east, the southern border of Canada to the north, and the northern border of Mexico to the south, including those tracts of soil commonly called Hawaii and Alaska.
Okay.
Now, we did that, and you have to understand that this is all under we had to find the proper status, capacities, characters, conditions, which is the heir of the Creator. That's the highest. And as the heir, you are the creditor, the bailor, the administrator, the creditor to and for any and all political, civil, social, ecclesiastical, military, governmental, or any other limit or structure, powers that they possess all comes from us. And so a lot of people have questioned the authority of the three of us to do what we did. Well, the maxim is the last man standing. We were the three last men standing. We let them know that we were the three last men standing after their last unlawful and fraudulent order. We let them know that, and that was, I believe it was a notice of conquest. At that point, we became the ones that had the authority to give the remedy to the people that was required, not only under the case, but under the original contract the Creator had with us.
And that was case number 15-0491, Supreme Court of West Virginia, Supreme Court of Appeals, correct?
Correct. And incorporated within that was also case 11-F-101 and 16-F-25 and its previous numbers, which was my personal cases in which I had further defaulted them and incorporated not only what we'd done, but went further with what we'd done in proving the constructive fraud all the way down to the lowest levels of government to the highest.
And those case numbers are specified on the first page of the trust indenture.
Correct. Correct. And through those cases, of course, you have all the documents that I had done since 2010, 2011, able to incorporate a lot of those defaults and dishonors on certain facts and truths into what we've done. So you have you probably have a total of 60 to 70 facts and truths, self-confessions of their criminal actions. And so the authority for the trust was we had to create a remedy that was going to give full relief to the beneficiaries. And the only full relief that we could find was to completely dismantle, dissolve, and liquidate the entire corporate structure. And this includes the creations of these purported government entities, meaning the incorporations of these other fictional entities that have wandered, pilfered, raped, pillaged, not only us, but our Earth. And so...
Also known as unknowns.
Unknowns. I mean, there are so many at this point. I mean, you're looking at tens of millions of corporations in the U.S. alone.
Right.
Which is all we're concerned with at this point. We did give an order in August to the Adjutant General of West Virginia and the Provost Marshal of the United States to begin effectuating the arrest of at least, at that time, the three self-confessed criminals. They refused to do so. And so we exhausted the remedy of self-enforcement through that structure. So the structure was not willing to abide by its own code, its own laws, its own structure. And so we were left with the only remedy was to do what we did through right now a series of, I believe it's 13 orders.
Correct.
I believe it's 13, 14 pages, which are publicly available. All of this should be available at hudok.info or by request from Philip Hudok. We've done the best we could, and there are clauses in there that will allow us to associate with other groups of people. But those same clauses also warn us that we are liable as trustees if we are involved with persons involved in any fraud. And so we are willing to associate and work with other groups of people, but they have to prove to us that there is no fraud, no malintent within their organization, within their structure, within their founding, and that what they're attempting to do with us is in no way fraudulent against the beneficiaries.
And would that be up to the trustees to vet this out? Is that how that
works? That is the trustees and or the protector.
Okay.
And or the authorized representative or any other trust officers that the trustees may appoint.
Gotcha.
To do this work. And this is for the entire nation, for all the people.
And you also want to include a little bit on the possible donations of funding. You want to go through that?
Yes. You know, any funds that would, I mean, I would hate to say, you know, we have so many funds available through these alleged government corporations.
The liquidation and what have you, right?
There is no need for outside money. That what we simply need is enforcement against these treasuries so that we can have a full accounting, a full audit, a full reconciliation of these assets to find out where they're at. We have so much money off books, is what I'd like to call it, when in fact it's on the CAFA report, but it's off books. It's their second set of books, because every corporation in America keeps two sets. And so
that's fraud to begin with, though.
That's fraud, really. It is. And so these off book assets are more than enough to pay for any workers that may be needed within this indenture. And so, you know, people may wish to give monies to the trust, and that is, they're more than welcome, but they will have to prove the origination of those funds going back to its inception. If that can't be done, the trust cannot accept it.
Right.
Second off, the trust is only a structure that is not going to provide any judiciary type structure at all, because the because the government that we have allegedly have is the judiciary, was creating new laws that were not within the confines of the original contract, were not in with what some people would call the original intent, if it had any. And so the judiciary is completely separate from the trust. The judiciary would be a private contractual jural society made up of the beneficiaries that willingly choose to adhere to the rules and procedures as contained forth in it. I am the first signatory to the tribunal of record. I also signed the Declaration of Independence and Pure Freedom, I believe may be the title, something close to that, which removed any contractual ties that may have had, which will actually be done by the trust on the people's behalf, because as these corporations are liquidated and dissolved, of course, any contracts or alleged contracts would of course be null and void. But the rules and procedures are less than 2 pages for the people. This that's typed. I mean, mine is handwritten because of my facilities here. But it's very simple. A child could understand it, and that is where the people will gain the remedy and relief needed in the future. It contains no judges. It contains no lawyers.
No prosecutors.
There is no representing. No. Everything is you.
And the purported defendant.
This is personal responsibility.
Right.
Personal responsibility.
For harm or property damage or breach of lawful contract, as an example.
Correct. Which is laid forth in the independence. It's laying forth the law form, which is the harm to another or their property or violation of a lawful contract.
Right.
Those are the only things that you may complain or seek civil damages for. And actually, the criminal and civil is both contained within the same to save time, and it actually makes sense in the judiciary. If someone's found guilty of harming you, then you also have a right to the damages to set yourself correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it only makes sense that it's all contained within one action.
And it's all specified in those rules.
Correct. Now, the trust is not there to take revenge. The trust is not there to prosecute anyone for any crimes that they may have committed against a real man, beneficiary on the soil. It is up to each individual person, if they have been harmed in some way or some manner, to do that for themselves. And that is why the tribunal is necessary to do that. Now, the trustees have set forth the oath for any persons wishing to help effectuate the enforcement of the orders, and of course the eventual freedom of all the beneficiaries. And those same persons can also sign a separate contract to provide the enforcement for the tribunals of record. But we must remember that these are two separate entities, and that is to ensure that the people are protected, so that even if the trust is violating a person in any way, shape, or form, they have recourse not only within the trust, but they have recourse with their fellow real men.
Via that jural society, the 12, yes.
Both are needed.
Record.
Both are needed. They stand side by side.
Yes.
And it also educates the people on a way to produce a structure coming out of this that will effectuate their freedom and free will choice the best. And so this will be a quick process with enforcement for the relief of the people from the oppression of these corporations, meaning their rights, privileges, freedoms, immunities, and properties, will be returned to them very speedily. The thing that will take the most time is the audit, the reconciliation, the accounting, the locating, the repossession of the assets. These things may take some time, especially the financial accounts and anything that was laundered offshore by these criminals.
Of course, orders will be spewed. Orders will be spewed on that national airwaves. Orders.
There was an order to effectuate control of the public airwaves and the public media, so that the people will know exactly what was happening and will know that there is a structure in place that is protecting them and assisting them in recovering these stolen assets of theirs here in the near future.
Procedural question, would that also be good for the due process notification of the perpetrators being these foreign government agents?
They will be notified that they are no longer needed if that's the case for their specific position. Some of the orders have already removed some specific positions. Future orders may remove others if they refuse to work under the indenture contract for freedom. The trustees have the full authority to remove whoever may be needed to be removed to stop the impeding and the slowing down the process here.
Okay.
With that, I think I've covered it
pretty darn
as quickly
good,
as I could, and hopefully this will answer a lot of questions that a lot of people have. Any others can be referred to Phil or Leonard, and I will answer them on a future call as soon as I get them.
Sounds good, man.
You need anything else from me this evening?
I think we're good, man. I'm going to get this out.
Get a copy of that to Will.
Oh, yes.
And get a copy to Alicia.
You got it, for sure.
She's going to spread it her way. And I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, bro. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.